Number one more time. And as you can see, we are prepared to take of the Lord's Supper in obedience to his commandment. At this time, we're asking everyone if you would please get your Bibles and turn with me today to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We thank God for the reading of that 23rd verse. And God has given me to preach this morning from this subject, the new me. The new me. As we look at this passage, we see here that in reference to being born again, every one of us in here, if you have not been born again, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You need to have a spiritual birth. Jesus had an encounter with Nicodemus, and he told Nicodemus that he must be born again. And we know why we need to be born again. We know it was because of transgression of God's law, which is a sin, which was done in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, that was a sin. And that sin was given to the human race. We weren't in the garden, but Adam was there. And he brought sin into the world. And it has passed on to every person born. And for that reason, we need to be born again, and this is a spiritual birth. Now, the mere fact that you're sitting here listening to me and you can hear me and see me and we see each other, we've already had one birth. We had that natural birth. But that natural birth, it's not what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about having a spiritual birth. It says that not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed. That birth that we all were born was a corruptible seed. Even though our parents could have been saved, we were yet born as sinners. And again, it goes right back to Adam bringing sin into the world, to the human race. Not corruptible means something that can spoil, something that can go bad, something that will ruin or decay. In other words, there is nothing lasting about something that will corrupt. Eventually, it will be no good. It'd be no good. So the scripture, as we look at this, it says that born again, but not of corruptible seed. So God wants us to look at this, and again, back to Adam. And the scripture lets us know that all have sinned. Every one of us in here, as I say it, even though your parents were Christians, you are not born a Christian. You were born a sinner, a corruptible sinner, a body of sin. And the scripture confirms it by saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So with that in mind, folks think that they are sinners because they sin. That's not what makes you a sinner. You are born a sinner. And because you are a sinner at birth, sinners sin. That's the nature of being, having a corruptible birth. Sinners sin. The scripture says that they can't help themselves. They're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's what the book about, that's what Romans says. So sinners have, and sometimes I refer to it as the can't help it. And we can't help it. Every one of us in here, we might not have done everything that the sinner world was doing, but we sin. Every one of us. It doesn't matter if you have lived a morally good life. Jesus said, you must be born again. Because living a morally good life is not going to get you in heaven. You got to repent of your sins. So the scripture goes on to tell us in that verse that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we were born naturally by a corruptible seed. But the second birth that Jesus is telling Nicodemus, and he's telling everyone who has not been born again, it's an incorruptible. We were born of an incorruptible seed. Now, I told you the corruptible seed is going to go bad, it'll decay, it'll ruin, and whatever it is. But incorruptible means it's incapable of corrupting. That new birth is born of an incorruptible seed. Won't go bad. It won't spoil. It can't ruin. It can't corrupt. You can't corrupt something that's incorruptible. And the Bible says that we were born of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is from everlasting to everlasting. Our salvation is eternal. Because the scripture said, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's important for us to hold on to those of us that are saved, to know that our salvation is secure, to know that we can't lose our salvation, to know that the devil comes against us, he tempts us, he tests us, he tries us, he does all these things, but there's nothing the devil can do that will cause our salvation to ruin, to spoil, decay, or to go bad, because we were born of the seed of God, which abideth forever. That ought to give us consolation to know that we are saved and we are saved forever. Once God saves you, God keeps you. We can't and we don't keep ourselves. God keeps us who has all power. And there's no one that can take us away from God. The devil can't draw us back under his authority. The devil can't rule our lives anymore because God has given us a commandment to resist the devil and he will flee from you. God has left his word for us, and if we follow God's word, if we do what God says, we will resist the devil because the devil is God's enemies. enemy, and he comes against God's people, and he tries to get us to disobey God. Go back to the Garden of Eden. We got to go back there. We got to go back there because the devil, God told them that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. The devil came along and said that you wouldn't surely die. The devil is a liar. It's important for those of us who are born again to know God's word. The word of God needs to be a part of our life so that when the devil comes against us, the Holy Ghost will bring to our minds just what to do. And then we can stand on the word. When we stand on God's word, we know we're going to have victory because God fights for us. You're going to be tempted by the devil. He's going to tell you you're not saved because you're having tests and trials. The devil's going to tell you that you're not saved because look at you. You know, some of the sin of man, he's going through the same problems you are. And if you were saved and your God is so wonderful, why you got to go through it? Well, the word of God told us that as Jesus suffered in the flesh, we are to arm ourselves likewise. But I want you to hold on to this. We are tempted. The tests that we have, they're common to man. If you're in the human race, some of the problems that a human have, you're human, and we're going to have these problems. But God wants us to know that with the problems that come along, he will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. The difference between the sinner man going through his problem and the child of God going through his problem, we have God on our side, and God will give us victory. There's a difference. There's a difference, yes, we have human problems. But thank God our Heavenly Father is a deliverer. Thank God that he's assured us that we are in his hands and no one can pluck us out of his hand. God has assured us that he will be with us always, even to the end of the world. I'm so glad that God's word gives us the help that we need. It gives us the consolation. It gives us the strength that we need in the face of opposition, in the face of trials, when it looks like nobody else is standing up for God, but you stand, but you're never alone because Christ is in you. And he'll stand up in you and he'll give you the help that you need. We have what we need in order to live a righteous life in this evil world. So the word of God goes on to tell us that we were born of an incorruptible seed. It can't go bad. It can't spoil. You can't lose it. An incorruptible seed of God gives us a new nature. We were born with a nature, that corruptible nature, which is a sin nature. We lusted after sinful things. We loved the world. We did what the world did. Amen. We were just like anyone else that we see today who's not saved. And we need to remember, you know, sometimes the Christian folks look on folks in such a judgmental way. We got to remember one day we were on the same road. And if anybody ought to show compassion, it should be us. God had mercy on us. We have to understand, and the scripture reminds us that those people who are sinning, they can't help but sin. The Bible says they're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You have to be born again in order to be subject to God's law. So if anything, we need to pray for them. And we need to thank God that we have been delivered. Thank God that God has made us free. One day we were wrapped, tied, and tangled in sin. One day we were lusting after evil things. One day we loved the world and the things that were in the world. One day we were following the devils and enjoying the trip sometimes until trouble come and then you got sad, but it wasn't sad enough for you to stop following the devil. Amen. But I want you to know that God causes us to be born with an incorruptible seed. And he gives us a new nature. The new birth produces the life of Christ living in man by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what your new nature. It is Christ in you, in me, in the form of the Holy Ghost. That is the new nature of the person who is born of God. The new nature is sinless, contrary to that old nature. The new nature is sinless. Well, let's look at some things that God will tell us about this new nature, which will make you the new me. And every one of us who are born again, we are not who we were born naturally. If you're a child of God, yes, you look the same, you have the same name, but the inner man, there's a change on the inside. And I like to remind you that what's on the inside is reflected on the outside. Let's not forget that. If Christ is in you, you're going to live a Christian righteous life. If Christ is in you, you're going to be meek and humble. Amen. That's who Jesus is. Remember now, the life that I live, it is not I, but it's Christ. And if Christ is in you, again, he does not change who he is. He changes us. And he causes us to be like he is. Christ is in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost orders our steps. The Holy Ghost causes us to be obedient to God's word. The Holy Ghost helps us to say yes to God's word. Even when there are things we don't fully understand, the Holy Ghost let us know that God's word is right. And if we do what God says, we will be blessed. So the new nature is sinless. So anyone who's professing to be a child of God, who's professing to be born again, you don't have a lifestyle of sin. That is not who you are anymore. When Christ saves us, he changes us. The Bible says old things are passed away. That old mean you. That old short, patient you who will jump on folks when they don't do it your way. Amen. That old vindictive you. That old lying you, that old you who skip it out on your wife or your husband, amen, that old you who can't tell truth, can't speak the truth. The Bible says that if we're in Christ, we're a new creature, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. In other words, as we like to say, the things I used to do, I don't do that anymore, and I don't do that anymore not because of my decision. It's because who lives in me, and because Christ is in me and I live the Christ life, Jesus was sinless. We need to remember that. Let's not forget, it's Christ in us. And the word of God assures us that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever tests we are facing, God will give us the strength. Whatever trials, however many trials, God is going to give us the strength that we need, because it's Christ who is in us. And Christ empowers us. The Holy Ghost empowers us. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to help us. We have the help that we need. Let's go to 1 John. The third chapter. We want to look at what this new nature does to an individual. Those who have been born again of an incorruptible seed, whose salvation is secure, who know for sure that you have eternal life, to know that you are not who you used to be because of the life you live now. Amen. So we want to look at what that new nature produces. We know what that old nature produced because we live that kind of life. But we now, if you're a Christian, you got to learn that there's a new way of walking, a new way of talking, and we got to live according to God's word. 1 John, the third chapter, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Thank God for that passage. Thank God that God helps us to understand what our new nature entails and how we should line up with God's word and how we should live every day. First of all, we want to look at, it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. All right? So the new birth, person who's born again, our new nature is a sinless one. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So we have the nature of Christ, the nature that cannot sin. We have that nature because it's Christ living in us. And he controls the lives of his people. He causes us to obey his commandments. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness because he is a righteous God. So our new nature produces a sinless one. And then it goes on to say, as we look, continue to look at it, say, it doth not commit sin. Whoever is born of God, you don't sin anymore. That's not your lifestyle. Man, you know, every time you come to church, you're not up there at the altar saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. No, we live a righteous life every day of the week, 24 hours a day. Amen. In your sleep. If you have a dream, you ought not to be cussing. Amen. God doesn't leave us when we go to sleep. He's with us always. And if the brothers are hammering and they miss the nail and hit their thumb, they're not using those old profane words they might have used before. They say, God help me. They might dance around because of that pain, but the filthiness does not come out of us because we have been clean through the word which God has given us. We are clean. The Bible says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And some folks, as sinners, they knew how to bring some profane words. But I want you to know that God's people are not profane. So all those folks who are talking about they're cursing Christian, they need to go back to the cross. They need to say, God, save me. Save me, Lord, because God's people are not profane. So we find out here, the scripture says we cannot sin. God says you can't sin. All right, let's just look over the fifth chapter. The 18th verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. I just want to put a little more emphasis on what God is telling us that we cannot sin. The 18th verse says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, cannot sin. The Holy Ghost in us. The life I live is not I, but it's Christ. Jesus never committed sin. It says, whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The devil doesn't have authority over you anymore. I didn't say he wouldn't come against us and try to get us. He came against Jesus, turned the stone into bread. Amen. cast yourself off. He came against Jesus, and Jesus told us that as he suffered in the flesh, we're going to be suffering. As he was tempted and tested, we're going to be tempted and tested. But what Jesus wants us to look at is every time he was tempted, every time he was tested, he got the victory because he always did what God says. And Jesus wants us to know today, because he lives in us, when we are tempted and when we are tested, as we let the Spirit lead us and direct us to the Word of God, we will always have victory. We're people of victory. We're victorious people because of who lives in us, the Almighty God who has all power. And he takes care of us. We got to stand. Amen. We got to stand. We got to stand on his word. Can't back down. There are times, you know, the devil will come against you and he'll come against you so strongly. But you got to stand on the word of God. I didn't say you have to argue. Sometimes God will tell you what to say, and if he doesn't tell you what to say, just hold your peace. Amen. And if God gives you what to say, say it, then say no more than what he told you to say. Amen. Because the word, there's power in God's word. Because what the word of God can do when they are not in your presence, when they're trying to sleep at night, God can wake them up, and God can trouble their spirits with the word that they heard. God can open their understanding. God will help them to come to truth. But we have to stand on the word. We have to let our light shine. Or we're going to be tested, saints. Just as sure as we're sitting here, we're going to be tested. And let me tell you, the test doesn't end until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. So we find out here that we cannot sin because you're born of God. And the scripture says that the seed remaineth in us, the incorruptible seed, the seed that keeps you from going back to that old sinful lifestyle. Amen. In order for you to go back, it'll have to corrupt, and you can't corrupt something that's incorruptible. Amen. Nobody, the devil or no one else, can destroy God's word. As I remind you, his word is from everlasting to everlasting. So let's look at that new nature again as we continue to look at that ninth verse. So first of all, the word of God has let us know that whoever is born of God cannot sin. Now, some folks, they'll try to wrestle a word, and they'll try to fix it up. And you know what? I'm observing is folks who are not living right, and they try to twist the word to suit their wrongdoing instead of just saying, God, save me and forgive me. Amen. God's word is right. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. They can twist it and turn it, whatever, however they want to. But the thing is, they need to listen to the word and get right with God. Amen. And when you get right with God, then you'll have power. You won't have to come up with excuses. You can stand on God's word. You can do what God says. Because, again, God has given us the help we need. I'm glad that we have help. We need help to fight this Christian journey. The devil is yet moving about. He yet has disciples. They're yet coming against God's people. Amen. And remember, when we were under the authority of the devil, he had a power over us. But thank God we are no longer. God is in charge of our lives, and the devil has to obey God. He can only do what God allows. And God draws a line and tell him what he can't do. And one thing he can't do, he can't pluck us out of his hands. Thank God for our salvation. Thank God that it's secure. All right, so we cannot sin. We got to get that in our mind. Don't let folks tell you, you know, yeah, you human, and humans just live a life of sin. Well, Jesus died for nothing. And we can't live a righteous life. And I'm here to inform you today, Jesus didn't die for nothing. Amen. He died to deliver us. He died to give us victory over sin. He died to destroy the works of the flesh in our bodies. And Jesus got victory. He died and he was resurrected, and he's now sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's a firstborn that was raised from the dead. Nobody had to pray for him. Nobody had to call on him. Nobody had to do anything. Jesus gave up his life and he picked it up again after he had done what God has assigned him to do. And Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. Jesus knows the problems that we face in this world because he walked this earth. He knows that sometime it's going to be the church folks that's your worst enemy. But the truth of the matter is, they're not saved folks. They're not saved. There's no, in the true church, God's people are not people in strife. Amen. That's not who God's children are. The Bible lets us know that we are to build up and not tear down. Amen. We're not trying to destroy a person's character, name. No. The Bible reminds us that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Even though your neighbor did something to you, love of God in you will not allow you to come back on him, because Christ is in you, and Jesus told us in his word that he will avenge us. We don't have to lose sleep over the wrong that folks have done for us. We can pray for them and say, God, help them. Because folks who do wrong against, go against God's word, they need to be saved. They need Jesus. And if they have Jesus, they will live a different life. And that's why we need to pray for them, so that they can live right like we're living right. And we'll have a brother and a sister in Christ. Help to join us in our journey in this wilderness experience as we fight until God calls us home to rest. So we cannot sin. Don't rationalize and talking about, well, my sin is not bad as your other. God hates sin. And he tells us we're not supposed to look at somebody else and compare and say, I'm better, I'm not as bad. Jesus is our perfect example. And if you find no case where Jesus sinned, you don't have a leg to stand on. Amen. Because Jesus is our perfect example. So if the scripture goes on to let us know, say, for his seed, 1 John 3:9, for his seed remaineth in him. And remember now, Jesus told us in his word that he would be with us always, even to the end of the world. From the day that the Lord saves you throughout eternity, he'll be with you. Isn't that assurance? That should be consolation to know that once God saves us, we are never without him. He won't leave us. The devil tried to get you to think that God is not with you, but God said he won't leave you. And I'm going to stand on God's word. So the scripture says here that he cannot sin. His seed remaineth in him. And the seed does not go bad. It's incorruptible. It is an eternal seed. Amen. Lasts throughout eternity. And eternity doesn't end. So we find out that also the divine nature, we receive the divine nature, God's divine nature. All right, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look what God is telling us. His divine power. And we know he has all power. He's given to us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. God has given us his Holy Ghost. We have the nature of Christ. God has given us his word. And his word will give us direction on how to live a righteous life, a life that is pleasing to God, a life that will bring glory to God. That's how we know how to live holy. We read the word of God and we say yes, and the Holy Ghost empowers us to do what God said. God gave us the Holy Ghost to Help us to have power to obey his word. We need power to do what God says, and he has taken care of that. We have the power, and he says he's given us all things that pertain unto life, that's eternal life, and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. But look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Thank God. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. There we are, partakers of the divine nature. That's why we cannot sin. We have the divine nature, God's divine nature. God cannot sin. That's what it's just showing you, that God's word is trying to get us to have fixed in our minds that when God saves us, our life, our days of sinning has ceased. That's not our life pattern anymore. Amen. Remember, sinners sin, and we're professing to be Christians. That might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He delivered us. We have escaped. Delivered us. Amen. We ought to be glad to have been delivered from the devil. I know one thing, these folks out here in prison, they won't escape. And some of them do escape, but not for long. They catch them, they want freedom, but Jesus has given us freedom. Freedom from the devil. Jesus calls us to escape, but unlike the prisoners that we see that escape and they find them, the devil can't have us back. We have been delivered forever. Say thank you, Lord. Amen. The devil can't have you back. The devil can't use you like he used to use you. The devil can't make you do those evil things that you used to, because God has given us his divine nature, and it's Christ in us who's living his life in us. Thank God for Jesus and what he done for us. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through lust. Thank God for deliverance. So the scripture goes back. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3:9. So far we find out this new nature is a sinless nature. It's a nature that we don't sin anymore because it's Christ who lives in us. And then we find out we have God's nature, the divine nature, cause us to escape the corruption. Amen. We have been delivered. Thank God we have been delivered. And then the last point I want us to remember about that, a new birth, it produces a righteous nature. A righteous nature. If you would, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. The new nature is a righteous nature. Verse 21 reads, "For he hath made him," Christ, "to be sin for us," you and me, "who knew no sin," Jesus never sinned, always holy, never ceased to be holy, walked this world, walked the earth, tried on many hands, but he never committed sin, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So that new nature makes us righteous. It makes us righteous. And this is what that scripture said. That Jesus was made what God hates. Sin. Point, he didn't commit sin. He was made sin. That's what the scripture said. Made him to be sin for us. So Jesus was made to be what God hates, sin, so that you may be made what God loves, righteousness. Say, thank you, Lord. I like the exchange. I like the exchange. Amen. Because we the ones that were sinners, and God made him to be sin for us. He was the one that died in our stead. He paid our sin debt, and he paid our sin debt so we could be made what God loved, righteous. And he makes us righteous forever. Our salvation is eternal. We can't lose our salvation. And I know folks say that you can lose it. They're not in the word of God. God says that we're in his hands and no one can pluck us out of his hands because he is the most powerful force in wherever we know. And if God keeps us, we'll be kept. The new me. Been made righteous. No longer a sinner. Don't live that life anymore. Because Jesus paid our sin debts so that we could be the ones that God loves and be righteous people. The new me. Will everyone please stand?